Chapter 55. They found Dorset's Island vehicles, compact models of a car built in Australia called a Holden, in a garage adjoining the manor. The cars had been customized by having all the doors removed for easy entry and exit, and were painted a bright shade of yellow. Pitt was eternally thankful to the late Arthur Dorset for leaving the key in the ignition of the first car in line. Quickly they all piled in, Pitt and Giordino in the front, Maeve and her boys in the back. The engine turned over, and Pitt shoved the floor shift into first gear. He pressed the accelerator pedal as he released the clutch, and the car leaped forward. Giordino leaped out at the archway and opened the gate. They had hardly shot onto the road when they passed a four-wheel drive open van filled with security men traveling in the other direction. Pitt thought, this would have to happen now. Somebody must have given the alarm. Then reality entered his mind when he realized it was the changing of the guard. The men bound and posed inside the archway office were about to be relieved in more ways than one. "Everybody wave and smile," directed Pitt. "Make it look like we're all one big happy family." The uniformed driver of the van slowed and stared curiously at the occupants of the Holden, then nodded and saluted. Not sure he recognized anyone, but assuming they were probably guests of the Dorset family. The van was stopping at the archway as Pitt poured on the power and raced the Holden toward the dock stretching out into the lagoon.
"They bought it," said Giordino.
Pitt smiled. "Only for the 60 seconds it takes them to figure out that the night shift guards aren't dozing out of boredom." He swerved off the main road serving the two mines and headed toward the lagoon. They had a straight shot at the dock area now. No cars or trucks stood between them and the yacht. Pitt didn't take the time to look at his watch, but he knew they had less than 4 or 5 minutes before Sandecker's predicted cataclysm.
"They're coming after us," Maeve called out grimly.
Pitt didn't have to look in the rearview mirror to confirm, nor be told their run for freedom was in jeopardy because of the guard's quick reaction in taking up the chase. The only question running through his mind was whether he and Giordino could get the helicopter airborne before the guards came within range and shot them out of the sky. Giordino pointed through the windshield at their only obstacle, the guard standing outside the security office, watching their rapid approach.
"What about him?"
Pitt returned Merchant's automatic pistol to Giordino.
"Take this and shoot him if I don't scare him to death."
"If you don't what?"
Giordino got no further. Pitt hit the stoutly built wooden dock at better than 120 kilometers per hour, then jammed his foot on the brake pedal, sending the car into a long skid aimed directly toward the security office. The startled guard, unsure which way to jump, froze for an instant and then leaped off the side of the dock into the water to escape being crushed against the front grille of the car.
"Neatly done," Giordino said admiringly, as Pitt straightened out and braked sharply beside the yacht's gangway.
"Quickly," Pitt shouted. "Al, run to the helicopter, remove the tie-down ropes and start the engine. Maeve, you take your boys and wait out of sight in the salon. It will be safer there if the guards arrive before we can lift off. Wait until you see the rotor blades begin to turn on the aircraft, then make a run for it."
"Where will you be?" asked Giordino, helping Maeve lift the boys out of the car and sending them dashing up the gangway.
"Casting off the mooring lines to keep boarders off the boat." Pitt was sweating by the time he pulled the yacht's heavy mooring ropes from their bollards and heaved them over the side. He took one final look at the road leading to the Dorset Manor House. The driver of the van had misjudged his turn off the main road and skidded the vehicle crosswise into a muddy field. Precious seconds were lost by the security men before they regained the road toward the lagoon. Then, in almost the exact same instant, the helicopter's engine coughed into life, followed by the crack of a gunshot from inside the yacht. He sprinted up the gangway, fear exploding inside him, hating himself with the taste of venom for sending Maeve and her boys on board the boat without investigating. He reached for the 9mm, but then remembered he had given it to Giordino. He ran across the deck, muttered, "Please God," tore open the door to the salon and ran inside. His mind reeled at the shock of hearing Maeve plead,
"No, Deirdre, no, please, not them too."
Pitt's eyes took in the terrible scene. Maeve on the floor, her back against a bookcase, her boys clutched in her arms, both sobbing in fright.
A blood-red stain was spreading across her blouse from a small hole in her stomach at the navel. Deirdre stood in the center of the salon, holding a small automatic pistol aimed at the twin boys, her face and bare arms like polished ivory. Dressed in an Emmanuel Ungaro that enhanced her beauty, her eyes were cold and her lips pressed tightly together in a thin line. She stared at Pitt with an expression that would have frozen alcohol. When she spoke, Deirdre's voice took on a peculiarly deranged quality.
"I knew you didn't die," she said slowly.
"You're madder than your malignant father and degenerate brother," Pitt said coldly.
"I knew you'd come back to destroy my family."
Pitt moved slowly until his body shielded Maeve and the boys. "Call it a crusade to eradicate disease. The Dorsets make the Borgias look like apprentice amateurs," he said, stalling for time as he inched closer. "I killed your father, did you know that?" She nodded slowly, her gun hand white and as firm as marble.
"The servants Maeve and your friend locked in a closet knew I was sleeping on the boat and called me. Now you will die as my father died, but not before I've finished with Maeve."
Pitt turned slowly. "Maeve is already dead," he lied. Deirdre leaned sideways and tried to examine her sister around Pitt's body.
"Then you can watch as I shoot her precious twins."
"No," Maeve cried out from behind Pitt. "Not my babies." Deirdre was beyond all reason as she lifted the gun and stepped around Pitt for a clear shot at Maeve and her sons. White rage overcame any shred of common sense as Pitt leaped, hurling himself toward Deirdre. He came out fast, saw the muzzle of the automatic pointing at his chest. He did not fool himself into thinking he could make it. The distance separating them was too far to bridge in time. At 2 meters, Deirdre couldn't miss. Pitt hardly felt the impact from the two bullets as they struck and penetrated into his flesh. There was enough loathing and malice inside him to deaden any pain, forestall any abrupt shock. He pounded Deirdre off her feet with a crushing impact that distorted her delicate features into an expression of abhorrent agony. It was like running into a sapling tree. Her back bowed as she toppled backward over a coffee table, pressed downward by Pitt's crushing weight. There was a horrible sound like a dried branch snapping as her spine fractured in 3 places. Her strange, wild cry brought no compassion from Pitt. Her head was thrown back, and she stared up at Pitt through dazed brown eyes that still retained a look of deep hatred.
"You'll pay,"
she moaned wrathfully, staring up at the growing circles of blood on Pitt's side and upper chest.
"You're going to die."
The gun was still locked in her grip, and she tried to aim it at Pitt again, but her body refused to react to her mind's commands. All feeling had suddenly gone out of her.
"Maybe," he said slowly, looking down and smiling a smile as hard as the handle on a coffin, certain her spine was irreparably fractured. "But it's better than being paralyzed for the rest of my life."
He dragged himself off Deirdre and stumbled over to Maeve. Bravely, she ignored her wound and was consoling the little boys who were still crying and trembling in terror.
"It's all right, my darlings," she said softly. "Everything will be all right now."
Pitt knelt in front of her and examined her wound. There was little blood, just a neat hole that looked like nothing more than a slight stab wound from a small object. He could not see where the plunging bullet had expanded inside her body and torn through her intestines and a labyrinth of blood vessels before penetrating the duodenum and lodging in a disc between 2 vertebrae. She was bleeding internally, and unless she received immediate medical treatment, death was only minutes away. Pitt's heart felt as if it had fallen into a chasm filled with ice. He instinctively wanted to cry in bitter grief, but no sound came from his throat, only a moan of sorrow that rose from deep inside him. Giordino couldn't stand the delay any longer. Dawn had arrived, and the eastern sky above the island was already glowing orange from the sun. He jumped from the helicopter to the deck, ducking under the rotating blades as the van carrying the security guards raced onto the dock. What the devil had happened to Pitt and Maeve, he wondered anxiously. Pitt wouldn't have wasted an unnecessary second. The mooring lines were hanging slack in the water, and the yacht had already caught the outgoing tide and had drifted nearly 30 meters away from the dock. Haste was vital. The only reason the guards had not fired on the helicopter or yacht was because they were afraid to damage Dorset property. Now the guards were only 100 meters away and closing in. Giordino was so engrossed in keeping his eyes on their pursuers and his mind on what was delaying his friends that he failed to notice the sound of dogs barking from all parts of the island, or the sudden flight of birds ascending and flying in confused circles in the sky. Nor did he sense an odd humming sound, or feel the quivering on land, and see the sudden agitation of the lagoon's waters, as the sound waves of staggering intensity, driven by an immense velocity, slammed into the subterranean rock of Gladiator Island. Only when he was within a few steps of the door to the main salon did he glance over his shoulder at the guards. They were standing transfixed on the dock whose planking was curling like waves across a sea. They had forgotten their quarry and were pointing to a small cloud of gray smoke that had begun to rise and spread over Mount Skaggs. Giordino could see men pouring like ants from the tunnel entrance in the volcano slope. There seemed to be some activity inside Mount Winkleman as well. Pitt's warning about the island going up in smoke and cinders came back to him. He burst through the doorway of the salon, stopped dead, and expelled a low moan of emotional agony at seeing the blood oozing from the wounds in Pitt's chest and waist, the puncture in Maeve's midriff, and the body of Deirdre Dorset bent back almost double over the coffee table. "God, what happened?" Pitt looked up at him without answering. "The eruption, has it started?" "There's smoke coming from the mountains and the ground is moving." "Then we're too late." Giordino immediately knelt beside Pitt and stared at Maeve's wound. "This looks bad." She looked up at him, her eyes imploring. "Please take my boys and leave me." Giordino shook his head heavily. "I can't do that. We'll all go together or not at all." Pitt reached over and clutched Giordino's arm. "No time. The whole island will blow any second. I can't make it either. Take the boys and get out of here. Get out now." As if he had been struck by a bombshell, Giordino went numb with disbelief. The lethargic nonchalance, the wisecracking sarcasm, fled from him. His thick shoulders seemed to shrink. Nothing in his entire life had primed him to desert his best friend of 30 years to a certain death. His expression was one of agonized indecision. "I can't leave either of you." Giordino leaned over and slipped his arms under Maeve as if to carry her. He nodded at Pitt. "I'll come back for you." Maeve brushed his hands away.
"Don't you see Dirk is right?" she murmured weakly.
Pitt handed Giordino Rodney York's logbook and letters. "See that York's story reaches his family," he said, his voice hard with glacial calmness. "Now, for God's sake, take the kids and go." Giordino shook his head in torment.
"You never quit, do you?"
Outside, the sky had suddenly vanished, replaced by a cloud of ash that burst from the center of Mount Winkleman with a great rumbling sound that was truly terrifying. Everything went dark as the evil black mass spread like a giant umbrella. Then came a more thunderous explosion that hurled thousands of tons of molten lava into the air. Giordino felt as if his soul was being torn away. Finally he nodded and turned his head, a curious understanding in his grieved eyes. "All right." And then one last jest. "Since nobody around here wants me, I'll go." Pitt gripped him by the hand. "Goodbye, old friend. Thank you for all you've done for me." "Be seeing you," Giordino muttered brokenly, tears forming in his eyes. He looked like a very old man who was shrouded in solemn and heart-wrenching shock. He started to say something, choked on the words, and then he snatched up Maeve's children, one boy under each arm, and was gone.